other station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday. It's February 27th. We've got another great show for you today.
Yes. And I'm here.
And Brigetta's here. That's the important thing.
Exactly. Although I don't really feel like I'm here. Because, okay, I couldn't find... My contact was bothering me. Uh-huh. So I couldn't find, like, another right one. Right. So it's, like, one right and one not. Uh-huh. So I feel like I'm here, but I'm not here.
Wow.
Like, it's really weird. It's, like, I'm half here.
Yeah, it's terrible. I don't know how you can do that. You know,
I don't know either.
Throw me off balance completely.
Yeah. That's exactly what's happening. I'm like, I feel like... I don't know. It's just... I might as well, like, close one eye, like,
yeah.
One-eyed winky.
Exactly. Or take it off. Don't you have the case for it?
No. Just like, take I carry that with me. It would be in my mouth.
You don't take it with you?
You know what happens when, like, a contact falls out? It goes in my mouth.
Really? You're crazy.
Why not? It needs to stay moist. No comment there.
It's easier to take a case with you, you know? Just put them in there.
Yeah, I lose that. I lose everything. That's not happening.
Don't you have a purse or something that you can put it in?
Do you know things that are, like, okay, women's purses. Let me just explain to you.
I know. It's like the Twilight Zone, right? I
mean, pretty much. It's like the abyss. And then you get a bigger purse to put more things in, and you still lose it.
And
then
that
it's like,
stuff disappears.
Then you're like, okay, I'll just get a small purse just to put a couple things in. And then it's like you jam it all in, and you're all pissed off because it doesn't all fit.
Yeah.
So then you keep switching purses, and then you have no idea where anything is. That's my worst.
Oh, the trials and tribulations of being a woman, let me tell you.
Right? Exactly. Those are the things that happen to us. Whoa. Anyway, so I feel like I'm not with it today. Which, I mean, when am I ever really with it?
That's true. That's a good question. You
so
know?
I guess it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No one would ever even know.
Did you get up early today?
No.
No? Okay.
I couldn't sleep last night.
Wow.
But you know what I did do is I finished day two of giving my first reconnection, which is, yay!
Yeah, that's amazing. Who are you giving it to? Somebody you know?
Somebody we know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Yes.
So are they being reconnected?
They did. They got reconnected last night, and we shall see what happened.
Wow.
You know? She's like all excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now tell me something. Can you heal like a back pain or something? Like a really serious back pain?
Yeah, you can. But the difference between Reiki and reconnective healing is, see, Reiki, you like focus like on an area and you can try and, you know, make it diminish, which I've seen it, you know, definitely work before.
Right.
Whereas reconnective healing kind of goes to what you need the most.
Mm.
And it may not be what you think you need the most.
Right.
It's whatever the universe thinks you may need the most. So maybe it is your back that you know heals right away. But it was like the same thing, like when I had my broken leg and just not my wrist. But I mean, when I had my broken leg and I was doing all this and I was so mad, like, why is my leg not being healed? Why is my leg not being healed? And I was getting more like madder and madder, like I'm with all this energy and what's going on? Like it should be healing this. And it wasn't, but I will say at that time, I needed other things in my life, that, and I felt it. Like, I started realizing, oh, I get what's healing right now. I totally get it, because emotionally and other areas that I needed it, that's where it was working.
Right.
And then my leg did heal, so it's fine.
Yeah. Well, cool.
Anyway.
Sounds good.
But that's the difference between.
Yeah, I guess that's the difference.
But reconnective healing stronger.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, so do you like it? I mean, is this something that you enjoy doing?
Yeah, I really enjoy doing it. And it's fun, too, because I've noticed when I'm working on someone else, like, I feel it. And, like, I don't know. It just feels amazing. Like,
really?
You feel like you're high.
Wow.
Yes.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Wow. We've got beautiful weather out there, huh?
I know.
Mean, you're dressed like in summer.
Yeah, well, I'm wearing winter boots because I was like, I'm going to be cold.
Really?
Yes. And I have a long day ahead of me.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an 80-degree day, so you better
apparently.
Be prepared.
I know. I have people in town. This will be exciting. I'm stoked. I'm actually going to a premiere tonight. I'm going to go see Phantom, which is Ed Harris and David Duchovny's new film.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that should be fun. And my girlfriend's in town.
Is that Phantom of the Opera?
No.
No? I don't know. What the hell do I know?
It's, I forget who else is in it. Oh, that chick, Tia Carrere or something. I don't know. I don't even know her name. But she's in it too. But, yeah, it looks like a good film. So
what's it about, though?
Like some military thing, like they go, I don't know, it's like an undercover operation. It just looks cool and I'm going to support. Okay. So, you know, that's all that matters. And drink.
Yeah.
The after party. I will let you know tomorrow how I think the film is.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know. I just saw like the trailer and I don't really remember.
Yeah. Last night I went to see Gangster Squad again for the second time. I never go see movies again, you know, more than once. I told you about it. I saw it in Israel when I went.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With, it's got Josh Brolin, Ryan Gosling.
I'll just watch it for
Emma
that.
Stone. It's an amazing movie. Sean Penn.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you got to catch this movie. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's violent, but it's good. It's
about I like violence.
L.A. in the 40s, you know?
Oh, see, I like that. See, I like history and I like violence.
Yeah.
That's what keeps my attention.
Then you love this movie.
Otherwise, I'm like, I'm bored. Sign me out.
Give me violence.
I need, like, blood, guts, gory.
We're such a violent society, you know?
I know.
Everybody needs to mellow out a little bit.
Like, Hunger Games? Amazing.
Yeah.
Give me more, though. Anyway.
Yeah. I just wanted to bring up the... what do you think about this one? I guess a first grader is a boy, but is transgendered. So she goes by a girl, right? This is a first grader. Now, she still has, like, male genitals and everything.
Wait.
So the school refuses to let her use the girls' bathroom.
Okay, wait. I forget. What is transgender again when you have both?
No, transgender is either transvestite or transsexual, you know? I mean, it's like...
So, like, it's basically like you have a penis, but you want to be a female?
Right, yeah.
And then, first grade? That doesn't make sense.
I know. But right. I guess some kids are like that, you know? But
I thought you meant, like... Or did she have both parts?
No.
The parents chose and they chose wrong.
That's an hermaphrodite or something, you know? But, this is like... It's a boy, but he carries himself like a girl. You know,
okay.
He's got like long hair, wears dresses, things like that, you know. But he's still got male genitals, you know. So
and the parents
the school
are cool
is saying,
with this.
I guess. Not only that, but the parents are suing the school now for this.
You know, I'm not really sure how I feel because I want to say like, you know, kudos to people coming out gay early, you know, or whatever. But then again, it's like... I guess the parents are giving them the freedom to do what they want. Because in a way, I think that's great. Like, it kind of helps the child to develop into their own.
Yeah.
So, I think that's cool that the parents aren't like, don't wear that, don't do this, you must be like this. And then, you know, they're all, like, compressed inside and they don't come out till they're, like, I don't know, 20. And then it's, like, aggro, you know, or whatever. So, I mean, I see both sides. That's the problem. I don't
know. But they're saying, you know, I mean, as he matures and stuff and, you know, gets older and stuff.
That he might change.
But
quite possibly, but...
Not only that, but it's, like, uncomfortable for other kids, you know?
Okay,
I mean, what's he going to do? Go into the girls' bathroom, you know?
But here's the thing. In Europe, in most places you go, there's unisex bathrooms. You share the bathroom. So it doesn't matter. To me, I don't really care.
I've never heard of that one.
There's the clubs in L.A., there's a few of them. There's maybe, like, two or three that do that, where it's, like, one long line. You kind of, like, share the bathroom.
Right.
But they're all open. It's not like it's enclosed. Like, that's how it used to be. I don't go out anymore. But when I did, there were a few clubs like that. And I thought that was cool. I have no problem with it. I don't really care. I'm not the girl that's at the mirror primping all day. I don't give a shit. I go in, I pee, I wash my hands, and I leave. So I don't really care.
Right.
And I have no problem with a dude being in the bathroom as long as he's not creepo McCreeperson.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, at the club, there's, like, body.
But you're an adult.
But,
you know,
but
that's
if it's a
thing.
School, like, it's not, like, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I don't think it would be a big deal to me. I wouldn't care if, like, someone's gay and they're, like, you know, I don't care.
And they're peeing in there and,
right,
seeing,
so what? It's just peeing.
Seeing you nude and stuff.
Why?
Like
there's
that.
Stalls. The door's closed. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
I guess I feel like kids, you know, can be mean and can, you know, they crawl under the stalls and crawl over them and whatever at certain ages.
Right.
So, like, if there's an adult supervision in there, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Who cares?
I don't know. I don't see that this is a good thing for kids, but what
I don't think
what
it,
do I
think
know,
people
you know?
Like making a big deal out of nothing, given it's like the first time that someone's actually making a big deal about it. But I really don't see the problem.
Okay.
If there's like a student you know, aide inside the bathroom, which usually there, I mean, in a lot of schools I think there is now anyway.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know when I was in school like years ago, I had to give a note in order to go to the bathroom.
It's not like that.
I used to forge my own notes, but that's okay. It's another story. But I did. There was like a hall pass. Like you had to have like, a, you know, and they were like hall Nazis. You know what I mean? They were in order to pee. I'm like, I'm going to pee right here on the floor if you don't let me go in. Anyway, that's a whole other story. But I'm just saying, I don't think it should matter.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway. Yeah, you're pretty liberal in these things, so you don't care.
I just think it's stupid to be stuck in so retarded old ways for what? To have all these, you know, rules because they've been rules forever, and I just think it's so freaking retarded.
Yeah.
I think times have changed, and people need to be more open-minded now.
Yeah. I just think it would confuse the kids, but, you know.
I think letting them come into their own is... Here's a good example. Sorry, really quick. Mm. But, okay, so the other day... Someone I know is at the playground, and these two boys were getting into a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents were going to go break it up, and they said, no, 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 let them work. And they're like 5, 6, 7, whatever, let them work it out on their own.
Right.
So they did. The kids kept, like, smacking each other and fighting, and they were like, push them back. You don't like it, push them back. And so they did, and eventually the kids walked away.
That's
they need
thing.
To learn how to function in society at a young age.
Right.
You can't always
that's
be
true.
There for your child,
because
you're not
going
to be there in times of, you know, of need most of the time.
I know a lot of kids do grow up spoiled, you know.
Yeah, they need to fend for themselves. They need to figure it out, because if we weren't there, they'd figure it out anyway.
Right, yeah. I know some parents are overprotective, you know, and I think then the kid grows up and they don't know how to deal with society.
My parents were psycho overprotective, and look at me. I was psycho against them all. I was like the most rebellious person you've ever met. You know?
Oh, wow. You're right. All right. Well, we have a very special guest in the studio. We're going to bring her in right now, and we have Dr. Dina. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Sure. And what a fancy name for... so,
she's a fancy girl. Look at her. She's gorgeous.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that goes without saying. And your publicist is here, but she doesn't want to get on the mic, so that's fine. Hold on a second. You don't want to get on the mic? Okay.
She's a little shy.
Yeah. Okay, I'm shutting off your mic then. So, Dr. Dina, tell us what it is that you do and why you're here.
Well, I am a medical marijuana consultant, an activist, and I've worked in the medical marijuana industry for 10 years.
Wow.
I'm very good friends with Snoop Dogg. I actually met him when I was about almost 16 years old.
Really?
In Encino.
Uh-huh.
And I was friends with his attorney's children.
Really?
So we actually became friends there. He was the first person I ever tried smoking marijuana with.
Okay,
really?
That's not a person you want to smoke with. I've smoked with him before, and they've done one. And before it's even done, the other one started. And it's like another. And then another. And then I'm like, I can't do that.
Well, you learn that after a while, you know, you need more and more and more. You know, to get you high and stuff. You know,
And he's so talented that I was like, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one of those experiences. You don't ever turn him down when he says, here, hit this. So we met when I was in high school. We became friends, and we stayed friends for years. And it wasn't until I got into the medical marijuana business that, of course, it only made sense for me to reach out to him and say, guess what I'm about to do for you?
Wow.
And he said, what is this? What do you mean? And I said, you're not going to go to jail anymore for marijuana. You actually can get a doctor's note and become legal. And he just said, sign me up.
Yeah, there you go.
So he was actually one of our first patients that we ever brought our doctor to. It was kind of like patient number one, you know, check it out, see what he would think.
Yeah.
And it's really changed his life. For the first year, it was really cute. He had a silver Jordan briefcase. He kept his doctor's note, just a letter from the doctor, in this silver Jordan briefcase. Handcuffed to his security guard's arm.
Oh, my
Everywhere he
God.
Went. You would think that it was $1 million in this briefcase.
Oh, my God.
It was just a doctor's note.
So funny.
So he really, really, really loved it, to say the least.
Yeah.
And he's been my patient for 10 years now.
Wow.
And he's so outspoken, obviously, for marijuana-related issues.
Right.
So he's my one patient that I can feel comfortable outing
right.
and talking about. And he outed me recently in the GQ magazine that came out in January.
Wow.
As, you know, this is my doctor, Dr. Dina. We're going to go check her out.
Whoa.
So they came over and wanted to take a tour through a cannabis collective. So I set that up for them and showed them around.
That's
and
cool.
There's many different collectives in California, especially, I'm sure, from being in the Valley. You see on Ventura Boulevard, they're everywhere.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's really exploded in the last, I would say, 5 years.
Right.
And we're still at a gray area right now because right. the cities are deciding, are they going to shut them down? Are they going to keep them open?
Right.
So it's a really exciting time for my business.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll get back to it and everything.
Absolutely.
But let's get a little bit background on you. You were telling me earlier you were born here, right? In
I'm
L.A.?
I'm a Valley girl.
Wow.
Yes,
not many people are born in L.A., you know? They
Most
all come
people
from
I
somewhere
meet
else.
Are from somewhere yeah. else.
Right?
Exactly. I'm rare these days.
Totally yeah. true.
So you're a California girl.
Yes.
And so you grew up here in the Valley?
Valley girl, 100%.
Wow. And so you went to school here, and at 16, you met Snoop.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now, so...
He wasn't really Snoop back then, either. You know, we
really?
Called him Snoopy. He wasn't... His albums hadn't really come out. He was... Dre was just working with him, so he was about to explode.
Wow.
Wow.
Now, you weren't exposed to marijuana before that?
No, I actually really grew up very sheltered,
mm-hmm.
and being from great parents who are Jewish in the Valley, I mean, they really wanted to keep you away. I lived
right.
3 miles from Ventura Boulevard, and I had no car, so I couldn't walk anywhere, and mm-hmm. I was really trapped, and so no, it wasn't part of my life at all,
uh-huh.
and I remember in high school, my friends were trying to, you know, smoke pot, and I was the anti-marijuana
really?
Girl.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, you're going to get in trouble. I'm going to tell the principal.
Did you get, like, strict education about it and stuff?
I mean, you know, I went through the DARE program, as uh-huh. most kids did, mm-hmm. so I always assumed that that was a bad thing.
Right.
It was like pills or cocaine, and I've never tried cocaine in my entire life. I've
right.
never...
Yeah.
I just... Well, I'm skinny, and my friends know I talk a lot, and they've always said, don't do that. You already talk
oh,
enough.
Kudos to that. I've right? never done it in my life.
Yeah.
And I think I'd be really scared to because caffeine makes me insane.
Thank
really?
You. That's all
yeah.
I need is a little green tea.
Yep.
I can't even drink coffee.
Really?
So I can't imagine
I'm up all
any
night.
Kind of stimulant.
Or you're
yeah.
bouncing off the wall, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah,
wow.
Absolutely. So when I went to college, I noticed that there were a lot of people smoking pot. And they weren't drinking. And I noticed that when my first couple experiences with alcohol, and being the fact that I weigh like 96 pounds, it affects me differently from other people.
Mm.
I can't have a drink and get a buzz.
Right.
I'm wasted. I'm on the floor. I'm
right.
throwing up all over myself. It's not a pretty scene.
Yeah.
So I gave up very quickly. I said, you know what, this is not good for me.
Right.
Right.
And so I was always the clean girl. You know, I never really
right.
wanted to be around it.
Right. Now, and so in high school, I mean, you tell me that kids 14, 15, 16 are smoking?
These days, I mean, it's around. I went to a private school. I went to school called Montclair College Prep. It's no longer around. It's gone.
Well,
that's where
you
Michael
were definitely
Jackson
sheltered,
went
huh?
to. Oh,
yeah.
No. It was a lot of celebrity children went there.
Right.
And it was normal when you turned 16 to get a BMW.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't, the kids would ask you, why didn't you get a BMW?
It's exactly
yeah,
like where I grew up. It was the same
it's
thing.
It's disturbing.
It was very disturbing. And I remember when I didn't get one, I threw the biggest temper tantrum ever. My parents like, you're going to destroy the car in the next 2 months anyway. And I did.
Yeah.
And I got a new one.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So everybody gets a BMW. Did you get one too?
I did not. I got an Infiniti G20. And the
yeah.
first day I went to school,
oh my
God, friend Lauren
girl.
Said,
like,
why didn't
why?
You get a BMW? And I'll never get over that. And then I did get a BMW later. Now
I
we're
see.
On to the Mercedes,
okay.
but it's okay.
That's LA for you, you
right,
know?
Yeah.
I mean, we're so...
Hey, no, that's certain area. I mean, that's I grew up in Maryland.
Right.
Near D.C. area. So it was very... Yeah, there's certain areas that are like, you're driving that? I mean, it's very much like here in Ways. And it's like,
wow.
Oh, my car was green, too. It was like this... But it changed colors. So it was like, that's kind of cool, I guess. But I hated it. I hated it. I would actually like try and destroy it on purpose. So I got a new one.
Yeah.
And I did.
So in that school, kids were smoking and stuff? I mean, you could see it, right? I mean,
you know,
there.
I was so naive and such mm-hmm. a good girl that I was known as, like, the teacher's pet. I wasn't big as brown noser, which is ironic
in my
senior year. So I was always the girl that I was not watching it because people weren't doing it in front of me because they just mm-hmm. knew Dina wasn't into that.
Right.
So they kept it away from me. So
right.
I was aware that there were parties and that people were talking
right.
about, you know, getting fucked up over the weekend.
Right.
But I
you didn't
want
to be part of it or anything.
Not really, no.
Right.
No, I was just involved with a nice group of kids that I was involved at Valley Beth Shalom. They're USY, United Synagogue Youth. So I was really more about, you know, I was a good girl.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. So you met Snoop Dogg and that's what exposed you to marijuana?
I would say exposed me to marijuana because I think that growing up with parents that were, you know, raised in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
my parents were always, they would speak about it. In fact, my dad said to me, I think I was about 12 years old. He goes, if you ever want to try it, Let me know and we'll try it together.
Wow, how cool.
And I thought it was a trick.
That's really cool.
No, I thought it was a trick for years. I thought, oh, he's just going to try to bust me. So stay away from him. So, yeah, I never tried it with him.
Yeah, but that's a good idea, I think, to do with your kid is to at least you know where they are, you know.
As long as you explain it's not a trick and I'm not trying to ground you.
Right, yeah.
You know. Yeah. Backfired a
little
bit.
That's actually really funny because if my parents let me, there's no way I'd believe them.
Right.
No way.
Yeah, well, I know, you know, it depends. So, okay, so at what point, so tell us how this whole thing happened. I mean, so
well, I was
you met Snoopy, dating, right? That was his name, Snoopy?
Snoopy, at the
okay.
time, yes.
You were dating?
Snoop, we just were friends. I mean, he did his own thing. I would see him, you know, if he had a concert or I would go to the studio and hang out with him. But we weren't very close.
Right.
And,
did he grow up here, too?
Yeah, he's from Long Beach.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
In Diamond Bar area. Okay. And so... We, you know, we knew each other. I can call him if I want to call him, but it wasn't like, what am I going to do? Go hang out with Snoop Dogg? Look
right.
at me. Come on. I don't really fit in with the group. So I was engaged to a nice guy who was living in Calabasas, and I wasn't working at the time. I was in the fashion business. I had a showroom, and I had been rear-ended by an 18-wheeler going 50 miles
oh
per hour.
Oh, my God.
On Ventura and Van Alden.
Wow.
And I hurt my back so bad. And a friend of mine said, you know what, this doctor's giving you somas and morphine and all these things. You shouldn't take that. It's really bad for your body. You know, you can try smoke a joint or something. It might help you function because you can't work and take a soma.
Right.
And the first day I took a soma, and I think for 3 days I was drooling on myself.
Wow.
And I said, you know what, this guy's right. And my ex would smoke a little bit, and he gave me a little bit, and I really noticed a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Really?
And not only that, but you
with
see how skinny
level.
I am. I actually had a little more of an appetite,
right.
which made me feel better, and I kind of was able to, by eating more, able to work out and build, you know, a little bit of muscle, which really helped my back. And that was like nothing. I didn't really think anything of it, but it wasn't until my phone rang at the house one day, and I wasn't working, and I answered the phone, and it was this great guy who said, you're not going to believe this. I have good news and bad news. I met this amazing woman. I just got married. And then I lost my job 2 weeks ago. He was a set designer. And he goes, and then I went for a checkup 7 days later, and I found out that I had cancer.
Wow.
And he was diagnosed with testicular cancer that was actually located in his stomach.
Oh, my God.
And it's a very strange form of cancer, and it's really not a good form of cancer. Mm. And he went to the doctor, and they said, okay, we need to get you on a strict dose of chemotherapy, radiation, every day. We cannot mess around with this. Mm-hmm. And so he called me basically to say, I don't really know what to tell you, but I don't have health insurance. And I don't know what to tell my wife because every time I throw up this pill, it costs me $300 and something.
Wow. Oh my God.
And I'm going to die because the cancer is not going to be going away because the chemo, I can't take it. Not to mention, I'm going to leave my wife broke. Mm. I'm going to leave her bankrupt when I'm dead because she's going to have to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars in medical bills. And I just sat there like, this is the most horrible thing I've ever heard. How do you don't have health insurance? And oh my gosh. And he goes, Adina, I don't know what to do. I'm throwing up every 5 minutes. I can't even hold my head. I can't breathe. I don't know what to do. And my first thought was, gosh, I wonder if marijuana would help him, if a little pot might help.
Mm-hmm.
So we got him a joint. And I went over to his house and I gave it to him. And I remember feeling very paranoid, like, oh, the cops are going to come and get me. And he's smoking. His wife, who was Swedish, she actually left the house. She got in her car and drove down the street because she was afraid that the cops were going to come and deport her.
Wow.
So this was quite a scene. So here he is holding a pot in front of, like, a cooking pot, crock pot in front of him because he's throwing up in this pot.
Wow.
And he smokes the joint and he immediately stops throwing up.
Wow.
I mean, went from violent dry heaving to just stop throwing up.
Wow.
And then he took a pill.
It calms the inside of the nervous system.
Exactly.
Right.
And he was able to take his pill, and then he turned to his wife. He actually called his wife, and he goes, can you make me some toast? So she came back, and she made him some toast, and then he realized, oh, my gosh, this was amazing.
Yeah.
Well, the next day, he didn't have a joint. He called me again, and I said, listen, I'm not in the marijuana business. I can't be. I'm not a drug dealer, buddy, so we got to figure something out. He goes, well, I'm really scared to keep using it because my wife is afraid she's going to be deported.
Right.
So at that point, I knew that there were medical marijuana laws that had passed in 1996. This was like 2001, 2002. And I drove him up north. I found one doctor. There were doctors that would write, they were writing recommendations in California, but they weren't advertising. So I couldn't find them in Southern California.
Yeah.
But there was one in Northern California. So I drove him all the way up north.
Wow.
And poor guy was throwing up in my car the whole
Oh, God.
I am so bad with that. So I'm like gagging in the car. It's horrible.
Oh, my God.
We finally got up to San Francisco. The line was around the block three times.
Wow.
To see this doctor. He couldn't, my friend couldn't stand. So I had to go to the Office Depot and I bought him a rolling chair, an office chair. I had to put it together and I'm sticking him in the chair and I'm rolling him down the street. And we waited for 3 hours.
I laughed so hard. I spit tea in my eye.
Like, in your eye. That's awesome.
It went out and up. I don't know what just happened.
So we actually went in. We saw this doctor who was a character. He's from Jamaica. He was had dreadlocks down to the floor. He reeked of patchouli oil. And I kept asking him, are you sure you're a doctor? Where did you go to medical school? And he showed me and I believed him.
Yeah.
And of course, I went on my phone and Googled the California Medical Board and made sure he was a real doctor before we paid him. And I realized the need was so extreme. If you look around, there was a 3-hour line to see this one doctor.
Wow.
It was $300. This is a business.
Yeah.
Why am I not in this business, is what
yeah.
I thought.
$300 for a recommendation.
Back in the day, it used to be $300.
What year is that you're talking about now?
This was probably early 2002.
Okay.
So it was unheard of.
It's like 10 years ago.
Yeah. So I convinced the doctor. I said, listen, there are people in Southern California that need this. Is there a way for me to bring you down to L.A. one day a week or so, and then we can have a clinic? He said, absolutely, let's do it. Well, I had no money at the time. So I went over to, there's a hotel on Santa Monica Boulevard, the Ramada Inn. I told everybody that's where the doctor's clinic was. And I held it in the lobby. And I did it for 6 weeks until the hotel realized something was going on.
Because
all these people would show up for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a doctor off in the corner writing recommendations. But they liked me because they got their money in valet parking. Because so many people would come in during the parking. So they finally said, listen, you know, we can't have you doing this in the lobby. Why don't we give you a little room? So they gave me a little room. We started doing that for a while.
Wow.
And honestly, after a while, I could not handle the smell of the patchouli oil on the doctor. It really, really drove me crazy. So I had to find another doctor.
Uh-huh.
And because when you have a doctor's office, I can't own a doctor's office because I'm not a doctor. So I need a doctor to run it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I went to a clinic on La Brea. It's like a little La Clinica.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked in, and I have a little bit of a sense of humor. So I walked in, and I said, I have a Jewish problem, and I need to see a Jewish doctor. And they looked at me like, what is wrong with this woman? And I kept saying, listen, it's a Jewish problem.
So funny.
It's a Jewish
problem.
Yeah,
you wouldn't understand, right?
Yeah, so she goes, oh, hold on a second. We can fit you in. So I waited about 20 minutes, and I walked in the room, and I looked at this nice guy in a white lab coat, and he goes, so I hear you have a Jewish problem. I'm a Jewish doctor. And I said, great. I need to make money, and I need your help. And he goes, what are you talking about? And I said, I have this great idea for a business, and I need you. And I know you're going to be great for this. You look professional. And he goes, my wife is not going to go for this. No way. And I said, let's make plans with her tomorrow night. I took his wife to dinner. I explained the situation. She was actually more interested than he was.
Really?
She was completely fascinated. The first thing she said, will it help my arthritis?
Yeah.
So right off the bat, I knew this was great. And this doctor, over the years, has really learned about medical marijuana. And I think he is the utmost amazing, respectful doctor on the planet.
Mm.
His name is Dr. Eisenberg. He works in West Hollywood. And we started a phone number. We called it 877-GOT-KUSH.
Oh.
And that is actually the number of the doctor's
one.
Office.
I remember
you saw
that
the billboards,
one.
I'm sure, up around the valley.
GOT-KUSH. And the LA Weekly
and
things like that.
Yeah.
So that was you.
That was us.
Okay.
Yes. So we started there.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I realized I have these great people. I can take you into the doctor and I can get you legal. But now what do I do? Where are you going to get your medicine? You're going to go stand on the corner by the park and, keep winking at people till someone sells you something?
Yeah, tell them, look, I got a recommendation.
Exactly. And that's not what safe access is about. And that's what's so important to me is being able to get safe access to your medicine so you know what's in it.
Mm.
And it's a plant. Plant grows mold and spores and all sorts of things. And you're going to put this in your body. Well, you have organic farming. When you look at tomatoes, you wouldn't just eat a tomato if from Mexico and there's some weird soil issue and there's E. coli. So how would you know? They test it.
Right.
So I wanted to figure out a way to really be up and up and have medical marijuana, have safe access to it, and be clean and be tested so you know what you're getting. Like you said, Brigitta, you had tried it and it totally messed you up.
Yeah.
Because you didn't know what you were smoking.
Right.
And if you're able to go into a place and say, okay, I want something to help my back pain, which that would be an indica versus a sativa. Mm-hmm. And maybe I don't want anything more than 16% THC because that really makes me too giddy or whatever. I can find exactly what I want. Okay, this one's 12%. Perfect. This one's 22%. Stay away from that. Well, you don't get that option on the black market. And when you have a dealer, they just hand you a bag. You don't get a choice. So that's really the most important thing. If you have a doc, you go to a regular doctor for anything, they prescribe it to you, and you go to a pharmacy to fill the prescription.
Yeah.
So that's really the important step, is making sure people have a place to get their medicine.
Right.
See, I guess like most people don't, and I didn't realize it either. I mean, I know more because I'm getting my herbalist license soon. But I didn't realize that, I mean, now that I think about it, like, obviously, when I'm making my own concoctions, I'm putting a certain percent of each plant inside of it. And think about that when it comes to marijuana. I would just be like, oh, you're giving me what? What's that? Wait, it makes me, and I would just become so retarded. Like, I was saying to you guys before air, I caught my hair on fire. Because I don't know, I hadn't smoked, and I smoked, and I was laughing so hard, and they were laughing so hard, and I was laughing because they were laughing, and they were laughing because my hair's on fire, and they didn't know how to tell me. And it was this whole, like, stupid thing, and then I realized, what is going up my back? It feels really hot, and what smells horrible? Oh, my God, my hair's on fire!
Oh,
and it was this whole, like, funny, crazy fiasco. Yeah, and then I would try and, like, I was like, okay, I'm going to go home now. I couldn't. I was like, there were trees in the road. Like, I was seeing, like, weird. I had no idea what was happening.
Right.
Like, this is not for me.
Right.
This is, like, and then I tried it again, like, I don't know, a couple years ago. And it just makes me super depressed the next day when I broke my arm. Because when I broke my arm, that was like the most horrific pain I've ever had in my entire life. And I've broken a ton of bones and I can take pain. But for whatever reason, this wrist was so bad. And they had me on all kinds of crazy medicines. And I could still feel it. And I was still in so much agony because it broke and then they said it wrong. That's what happened.
Ooh.
Right. So, so then I smoked weed and I'm like, okay, well, this actually does take the pain away. Like I was amazed, like, okay, I gotta have some more because this is just like, it really helped during that time, but it made me so depressed the next day. Mm-hmm. I would just like be so down and cry.
Right.
And it was like the most awful thing ever. So that's when I realized this is not for me.
Well, smoking it is just one of the many different ways of using medical marijuana.
Right.
If you have a broken arm, I would say don't smoke it. They actually have a cream that's like Bengay.
Oh,
that
really?
Has it in there. You don't get high from it at all. It'll just gonna take your pain away, and you wouldn't have the experience of the next day feeling sad. So there are all these amazing options that people are coming out with these days.
Right.
Everything you can imagine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And smoking is really, I mean, let's be honest. I can't take the blunt out of Snoop's hand. I can try. I lecture him about smoking blunts every day. I'd rather him smoke a joint because it doesn't have the tobacco paper on it.
Right.
Right.
However, that's his thing. It's like his whoopee. He likes to have his blunt in his hand.
Right.
But for most people, it's about vaporizing or eating it. And it just hits you so differently. You can function. It's kind of
right.
Nice.
Now, I wanted to ask, by the way, for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Dr. Dina, who's a medical marijuana consultant. What a title, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can definitely consult me. Now, so you were obviously one of the first to actually get into this. But at that point,
in Southern California.
I can't take away
the credit from the people that did it in Northern California because they really started in 1996 and did an amazing job.
Right. But so how come there were not that many out there?
In the beginning?
In the beginning.
Well, the cities weren't going to allow it because, as you know, marijuana is federally illegal. It's a Schedule I drug.
Right.
So technically, the city doesn't really know how to handle something that's federally illegal. So for example, when we wanted to find a dispensary to open, the history in West Hollywood is don't quote me on the date, I want to say 2001, the city of West Hollywood actually gave money to a gentleman to purchase a building to make a cannabis club. The first cannabis buyers resource club in West Hollywood was owned by the city of West Hollywood.
Wow.
That's
how important it was to them to have a place for safe access. Well, the federal government seized their building.
Right.
So that became, you know, they were like, oh, I don't know if we want to let anyone else open because the federal government's going to come and seize this property.
Right.
And we said, listen, we don't want your money. We will find people to rent these businesses and we will open and we'll do it right. But we want your help. And we don't want to do it the wrong way. We want to sit with you and come up with regulations and rules that keep us doing everything correctly. And they love the idea. And especially West Hollywood has a very large population of HIV-positive residents.
Right.
We have a lot of gay people in the city. So medical marijuana and West Hollywood really goes hand in hand together. And that's really the nice part, is starting with John Duran is one of the city council members. He's actually running for re-election. We are a huge supporter of John. He's amazing.
Yeah.
He has gone above and beyond trying to help us. He gave us hours of operation. We cannot open before 10 a.m. We can't close after 8. So it's really like we're very regulated in West Hollywood, which is great. There used to be 11 dispensaries. We worked with them to shut it down to there's only 4.
Wow.
You don't really need...
No, you don't need that many.
300 stores.
I mean, you go down Ventura Boulevard, there's like, they're literally
one
next
on every
door.
Block. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Same in like Hollywood, but a lot have closed down now.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Well, also, when a lot of these places opened, we worked with the city and said, listen, I know there's no real rules yet from the state of California, but we assume that we shouldn't be within 1,000 feet of a school or a church or a place where children congregate. That's just the way it should be. And they looked at that and said, you're right. You know what? Let's only do 600 feet.
Right.
That's West Hollywood. We don't want to, you know, give you guys a hard time. But later on, Jerry Brown came out and said, it should be 1,000 feet from a school. You know, so we were always more conservative than the most. So we really worked out a great way to regulate. LA County has no regulations currently.
Oh, my God.
They're
gosh.
In the middle of working it out. There's no permits.
Right.
No. They're applying for it, but they haven't figured out what to do. They're still in the middle of a vote, either to ban them all or keep them all open or keep a certain number
open. And they were going to ban them last year, and then they had enough signatures to stop
that.
Yeah.
Correct.
Now, what about what's the difference between – how did Colorado get away with it all? And because I just got back from Colorado, and it's like it's completely legal there.
Yeah.
So how do they get away with it, and we can't hear? What's the difference?
It's the voters, I think, right?
It's not so much the voters. It's Colorado has some great people running their state. And they went and looked at what we do in West Hollywood and said, hey, let's do this right. Let's permit people. Where L.A. and California, they're still like, I don't really know if I want to give you a permit to grow plants.
Right.
You know, but in Colorado, it's like, okay, here's your permit. You're allowed to grow 12 plants.
See,
there's a way to notify, actually wrap the pots that they grow in. So you know that this is like an official plant that's permitted and it's going to be taxed.
Right.
So here's another thing, and I'm just, this is going to sound crazy, but I'm going to throw this out there. I think it's so retarded to have all these rules against a plant that grows naturally in the woods or where, you know, wherever. And it's like, honestly, it's like if I wanted to take, and I wouldn't, but if I wanted to take poison ivy, for example, and I wanted to smoke it, and actually...
that's legal. That is legal for you to
do. That's what I'm saying. That's okay. Yet you know what it does. So I don't understand how that's legal and how marijuana isn't. Now, I'm not saying everyone go out and try and, like, prove a point and smoke poison ivy, which, by the way, the little doses of poison ivy, you actually become immune to it.
Really?
And immune to many other poisons. It's like this whole... I'm studying, like, so much with homeopathy.
Yeah.
And it just... I know it sounds crazy, but like little bits don't really do anything to you, and then you become immune to a lot of different poisons in society in general. So this is so retarded that I think that they're saying, no, you can't smoke a plant. When it's like, I could just go to the back of my backyard and I could smoke whatever I wanted and that's fine.
Right.
You know, like...
It's just that I think...
The biggest issue is really, I mean, you as a patient, Sam, you can grow 12 plants in your house.
Really?
You can put them in your backyard. Wow. As long as they're locked and children don't have access to it, you can grow it.
Right.
That's not the problem. The problem is selling it and control. They want to control. They want to get tax money off of you.
Right.
And there's no way to control it if you're just growing it and giving it to your friends who have
notes. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Now, I think the answer to what you were saying is I think they demonized this in the 30s, you know, and put up all these laws and everything.
The Reefer Madness campaign.
Yeah. And now it's so irrelevant, you know, that... But I think we're on the right track to legalizing this because it's becoming accepted now, you know. And I think that was like the biggest block... was people would not accept it, you know, and, you know, just looking at it as a drug and everything, you know. The funny thing is I just came back from Israel and they're starting to talk about medical cannabis there.
They are so advanced in Israel. Right. It's amazing.
But it's not as open as it is here, you know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's like,
not as
it's
open,
underground.
But they're doing testing where we're not.
Yeah.
They're actually trying to find medicinal uses for cannabis to cure diseases, where the U.S. really, you know, they control their studies.
Right.
because of the pharmaceutical companies. That's completely why. I mean, they rule everything.
Well, that's just one of many. If you look at it, look at private prisons. Think about how much money these private prisons make by throwing people in jail. Right. These people are not criminals, but they're making hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars just off that. Then you have DuPont, plastics, hemp. The hemp plant provides fuel, fiber, food, medicine. This is like an amazing, magical plant.
Right.
Most people don't realize that you can take all these different parts of it. I mean, I had to learn. Hemp clothing is actually softer than cotton.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's amazing.
It's really amazing.
I love it.
But we're giving our production to Canada. We're giving our production to China. We're giving it away to other people. There's hemp power bars.
Yeah,
these are like amazing products. They're really good for you.
Mm-hmm.
We can buy them here.
Right.
We can eat them here.
They're
can't make them here.
Yeah. They're gluten-free. That's
Absolutely.
That's why I eat them. Like, yes.
So we're losing, as far as I'm concerned, our country is losing out on so much money for making all these interesting products that has nothing to do with pot. I mean, weed is weed. We're talking about clothing, fiber, fuel. I mean, the oil from the seeds. They're great for your face, for your hair. I mean, you're not going to get high from that.
Right.
And the other interesting thing about marijuana is if you're really sick, if you smoke or you eat it, you don't get high. You actually just feel normal. But if you're not sick, that's when you're going to feel high.
Really? Because, so if someone has like a serious back pain, they won't feel high when they...
You're not really going to get high. It goes...
Because I wanted to get this for my mom, you know? I mean, she's like 70-something, right? And but then we saw it on the news, on TV... And she's suddenly like, oh, well, maybe we should consider this or something. My dad did, right? And I'm like sitting there, if you only knew how much I smoke and stuff. But I'm thinking, you know, I mean, they've given her so many things. She takes like 20 pills a day or something.
So
you know?
Unhealthy.
They
so
get
unhealthy.
Shots. They get all
the
stuff.
For her liver, for her kidney.
And it's getting worse, you know?
Well,
so
because
I figure,
pharmaceutical drugs basically kill you from the inside out. It's
just
literally, I'll go into a whole thing, but it's like literally, you know, they just want to do it to keep feeding you more and more and more.
Right.
And then guess what? I got to get this surgery. Now I got to put you in here. Now we're going to do it's all like the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies all work together. And it's like they own pieces of the government because they pay for, I mean, it just came out like not too long ago. They paid for someone's campaign.
Right.
I can't remember who it was, but that was like when the whole presidential thing. Do you remember what I'm talking about or no? They didn't remember what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. I'm going to look it up.
It's okay.
Yeah, because I like doing this. We do this a lot. And then I'm like, I forget, but I know what I'm right.
Yeah.
I'm Google it while you guys talk.
So, you know, so I thought about getting this for my mom, but I'm thinking she's going to get high. How the hell is she going to like...
No.
...function?
They have... There's something for everybody in these places. It's I mean, each collective that I go to, I'm blown away because every time I walk in, there's some new product that is the coolest thing.
Really?
It's amazing.
Wow.
It is amazing. I mean... Just the fact that you can rub some like Bengay cream on your arm and it has cannabis in it. That's pretty incredible right there.
Yeah.
What's really neat and what I've learned over the years from doing a lot of research is that we have cannabinoid receptors in our brains, actually by our stomachs and our genitals and a couple other places.
Really?
Our body naturally produces cannabinoids.
Wow.
Now, some people produce more cannabinoids than others, and marijuana is a cannabinoid.
Mm.
So essentially, if your body's not producing enough cannabinoids and you're adding it by putting some marijuana in your system, you're helping your body
So
feel
you,
good.
You just feel normal.
You feel normal. And that's why, you know, some people, for example, say, oh, you know, when I smoke a certain kind of weed, I feel horny.
Right.
Well, that's because it's actually going, that strain went to the cannabinoids in your genitals.
Right.
Whereas opposed to there's certain strains that will go to your brain. And that's really what helps the pain, the blocking the pain.
Right. Wow. There's just so many questions. I don't even know what... I wanted to ask you about the... you said there's also like other forms and stuff, like edibles and things like that.
Yes.
But from what I understood, from at least one person told me that these are still illegal. If it's not flower, then they can't sell it. Is that correct?
That would be LA County because they have rules on edibles.
I see.
West Hollywood is okay to sell edibles.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So you can go there and buy all the
You can buy edibles, wax with a lot of concentrates that they don't sell in the valley. They sell that in West Hollywood as well.
And the wax, you vaporize that, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. It's a really healthy way to smoke. What's really fascinating is 1 gram of marijuana on average, if you were to take a gram and roll it up in a joint, there's about 150 milligrams of THC in that 1 gram.
Right.
But if you roll into a joint and you smoke it, you're probably only going to get about 30 milligrams of THC because most of it's going
gets
off
burned.
Into the air. It's getting burned off and you're going to pass it or whatever. You're only getting a little bit. if you vaporize the tiniest little piece of wax, you get the full 150 milligrams.
Wow.
So you, it's about using very little and getting the full dose.
Right. Wow. So people can get edibles and things like that and wax and stuff outside of LA
County. I actually tell
people
not to smoke. I mean, smoking is really not good for you unless you have nausea. The one thing I've learned from people with nausea and chemo, it's the only thing that helps.
Yeah.
It was
and especially
Obama.
People with asthma and stuff, they can't
I have asthma.
Found it. Sorry.
It's actually not true at all.
No, you can smoke, okay?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. If anything, it sometimes helps.
That. Really?
Because it expands your lungs.
Wow.
Yeah. Obviously, smoke is not good, period.
Right.
And if you have asthma and you're smoking cannabis or marijuana that hasn't been tested, it could have mold spores.
Wow.
And that's going to give you an asthma attack. It's not the actual smoke.
Right.
So.
Yeah. You see, now, what I don't understand is, like, you know, I mean, here, Colorado and Washington took the next step and stuff because it's constantly like there's a debate. Oh, is this only used for medical use or is this like for pleasure, for recreation? And the thing is, so what if I want to use it for recreation? Why is it any different?
Absolutely. I mean, look at alcohol. Why is it that I can go have, you know, a martini and literally be shit-faced and find myself on the corner of a gutter somewhere? I mean, that's what's going to happen.
Or driving dangerously and killing people.
The only thing that I have to say is this is one thing that, and I'm defending alcohol in this. Yes,
she's
I am.
A big drinker, so she'll defend it.
Because I need to feel control of myself. I have to be in control. Like, that's like one of the main things with me. So that's kind of one of the reasons
you
why.
You feel in control when you drink?
Yes.
Oh, I
because if
opposite.
I want to have...
Well, it's because she drinks.
I drink a lot.
Yeah, she drinks a lot.
I can have one drink and I'm fine. And
just
I can
like,
have,
you know, we can smoke and we don't
and it,
really feel high.
But I know what each liquor does to me differently and separately. Obviously, it depends on the bartender as well. But I'm used to drinking certain things, so I know what it does. And if I wanted to get sober, I drink a lot of water. I can make myself puke, or I can just eat. Three things right there.
Touché.
And I can, you know, and I'm sober, and I'm great, and I'm ready to go.
And Sam can drink a glass of milk and be totally sober in 5 minutes.
There you go.
I'm allergic to that. But see, the thing is like, I've eaten a cookie before, and I had the spins, and I was like, this is the worst thing in my freaking life.
Yeah,
and
you ate too much.
It was like 14 hours of complete hell, and I wanted to puke, and I couldn't, and it was just... Oh, my God, make this go away. Someone come kill me now.
The trick is with edibles, especially, if you feel like you had too much, drink a glass of milk. And it actually slows down the digestion, and it binds to the actual fatty cells in the THC. Mm. Takes it out of your system.
What if you're allergic to milk?
Anything fatty. It could be soy milk, anything with sugar, almond milk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Now, we only have a few minutes, and I just wanted to cover, so... I guess you inspired the show Weeds, is that correct?
Apparently so.
Yeah. How did that happen?
Well, I was living in Calabasas. If you ever saw the show Weeds, it opens up with a housewife in Calabasas. Her husband passes away, and she's left with her kids trying to figure out how to make it.
Oh.
For me, I was living in Calabasas. I broke up with my ex-fiance. I was trying to figure out how am I going to make it. And I really wanted to live that same kind of lifestyle that I was living, yet not need a man to pay for it. And I kind of fell into this. And it really was about helping people. I mean, Snoop likes to joke around. He goes, you know, she might not have slept with a DEA agent. But she certainly knows a lot of black guys who sell pot. So, you know, and it is what it is, you know. And I helped the first dispensary open on Sunset Boulevard. It was right across from the Hustler store. It was the flagship store. It used to be open until 3 a.m. We had people would drive down from San Francisco.
Really?
Literally at 2 a.m. they were already driving down because their stores shut at 8.
Right.
So they were out of weed at 8 o'clock. They get down the 5 and they were over in Sunset by 2 a.m. And it was insane. I mean, the people, it was just a great time. This was the very beginning. And some of our patients liked to linger around and wanted to become our friends and ask us a lot of questions. And I was a little naive, so I would answer them. And about 6 months later, I noticed a billboard that was put up right in front of our dispensary on Sunset Boulevard. And it had a woman that looked like me with the said weeds. And I went, it's a joke?
Oh,
what is this? Why do they put it right across from the store that I work with? Boom. It comes out.
That
Everybody's
sucks.
Calling
you should have
me.
Been like consultant. Like,
well,
on
it turns
show.
Out some of those people that were coming into the store actually were consultants on the show.
Really?
So,
wow.
Although they didn't steal my entire story, the very beginning of it, I don't have kids, and
Right.
Mm-hmm. The very beginning was very much, I'm a nurturer, I like to take care of people, but I'm also a tough bitch at the same time. So
okay.
I don't take shit from
all right.
people.
Now, so what do you do now? I mean, do you still have the practice and everything with the doctor?
We still have the doctor's practice. 877
right.
Got Cush is still going.
Right, and that's La Brea and Santa Monica Boulevard, right?
Actually, that one's on Santa Monica and La Cienega.
La Cienega, I'm
yes.
sorry, not La Brea, right. Actually, that was the first doctor I went to.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. Somebody referred me there, so.
How long ago was that?
Longer than I care to remember. Probably 6 years ago, maybe. 5, 6 years ago.
I wonder if I was in the office when you came
maybe
in.
You were. I don't know.
Hey.
But at any rate, so what do you do now? I mean, you're also a consultant. You actually go
I work with several different dispensaries mm-hmm. because they want to learn the right way to do things. A lot of them don't really know.
Right.
And they just said, okay, Dr. Dina knows how it's supposed to go. And she
right.
did such great work with the city of West Hollywood. We want to work with her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So with that said, I go in there and I basically act like, what is that cooking show with the guy who yells,
yells
at everybody? I don't watch
know.
It either, but everyone tells me, they're like, that reminds me of you. You just go in and start screaming at everybody, do this, clean that, move that. But that's what I'm good at doing. And I've always been in retail and merchandising and marketing. So I get that part. I know that we're supposed to be there for the patient. And that's really at the end of the day. I had a girlfriend who passed away from cancer. She was totally anti-marijuana and she knew what I did. She never asked me for help, and it kills me to this day. And she passed away, and it was like
wow.
every morning I wake up, and I thought I could have helped her.
Right.
She just gave me a chance. But the reason why she didn't is because she got scared, and a lot of marijuana has a horrible stigma associated
right.
with it.
Right.
Doesn't have to have that. And that's really right. what I'm trying to change with working with people.
Right. Now, do you want people to contact you? I mean, do you have a website or anything?
Right now on Twitter, I'm Dr. Dina on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And I have a Facebook fan page. We're working on a website.
Sounds good.
And I'm working on a show with Snoop Dogg for his YouTube channel on Westfest TV.
Really?
We haven't quite picked out a name for it,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to be a marijuana-related show. Currently, we do GGN, which is a news-related show that I help book celebrity guests for.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Dina, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
A lot of fun, a lot of information. I mean, we'll have to invite you back because
there's
at least another hour in this easily.
Have people call in and ask questions. I
yeah,
love it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, all the best to you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And Christy, thank you, for bringing us such a great guest. And Brigetta, we'll see you tomorrow.
All righty.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigetta is an LA Talk Radio production where we say what we want.